our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice.
See some faces we haven't seen in a while. Just love each and every one of you. We're going to go ahead in our service. What a powerful song. You know, Jesus, you know, there's so many statements or little quotes that go along with it. Jesus, the reason for the season. Jesus, that precious lamb that was born, but he is also a mighty king.
Amen.
Praise God. He is alive and well at the right hand and throne of God right now. We just praise his holy name. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we open up. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you have a prayer request, just show by raising your hand.
Yes, the Lord.
Oh, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your name and in your house. Lord, as we come together now, dear Lord, may we just put all of our attention on you and you alone, dear Lord, as we celebrate this new year. The Lord, this new season, dear Lord, may we just use this opportunity, dear Lord, just to place all of our heart, our mind, our needs, our cares into your mighty hands. Dear Lord, you see the hands that are raised this morning. Lord, you know the depths of our heart. You know things even before we speak them, dear Lord, and we're asking you now to touch, to protect, to provide. Lord, to be with each and every situation that's been lifted up and brought to your attention this morning, dear Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy and grace. The Lord, now my mind is just busy with those that are watching on live feed this morning or at a later date. Lord, I know there are those that aren't able to be with us this morning for whatever reason. And the Lord, you know each and every one. Lord, I'm asking you to touch them now. Lord, let them feel your holy presence wherever they are, whatever room they're sitting in, or if they're watching at a later date or listening to the audio. Lord, let them know that you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Lord, you're our Savior. And the Lord, we just love and praise you this morning. Lord, we know that you're the healer, the provider, the protector. And the Lord, as we start this service, dear Lord, may anyone that even hears it or gets a taste of it, dear Lord, just know your word and who you are. Because, dear Lord, we're nothing without you. But, Lord, as your word is read, as the message is brought forward, as the songs of praise are lifted up to you, dear Lord, this morning, Lord, we just want to honor you. And, dear Lord, we just want to praise you. And, Lord, we want to thank you in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen, amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. I haven't given them this song. Page 177, Are You Washed in the Blood? We're going to do another song that was on my heart this morning, and as they were singing that, what more appropriate than to ask that question? Are you washed in the blood? Is this the day that you need to turn your life over to the Lord, or we can celebrate and praise what He's already doing in our lives? Let's just all sing this. We just give the Lord glory. Are you washed in the blood? Page 177.
Blood of the Lamb. Are you?
Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. Just praise the Lord this morning. Really excited about what He's doing and what He has done. And just want to just magnify again, just say it again, how good it is to see each and every one of you this morning. And all of you watching on the screen and on live feed, we just love you. We miss you. Wish you could be with us. And if you've just tuned in, also if you have a prayer request, just put it in the comments. And we will definitely be praying for you and with you. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. I don't have any announcements right now. Yes, ma'am.
We will start our breakfast back next Sunday.
All right.
So get ready.
All right, get ready, as she said. Next Sunday, we'll start back with choir practice. So really looking forward to that. And if you want to join the choir, it's a perfect time to do it. Just make plans next Sunday to get started. Brother Thomas, if you'd ask the Lord to bless our offering.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. That it's good to be here this morning. More than ever, I love Jesus and thank Him for everything He's done for me. Y'all worship as we sing, Your Cries Have Awoken the Master.
Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, and He was asleep in the stern. Does He not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called Him. said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all of your might, child, your cry have awoken the Master. It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. You see, and no hope in the distance. You're frightened and nowhere to run. By now, your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know that you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cry have awoken the Master. Now you're up there worried that he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. Savior, and you know that you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cry have awoken the Master. Now you're up there worried that he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, cause you
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Come on, give the Lord praise in the house. Amen. Come on, I think we can do better than that. You know how much that would have cost you if you had to go to the doctor? Jesus paid the price. Every stripe that He bore was for our healing. Amen. Come on, let's give Him praise in the house. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Feel kind of like David. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Wonder if I got any saved folks in the house this morning.
Oh, amen.
Got anybody on their way to heaven?
Yes.
Have I got anybody worried about what tomorrow's going to be? If you're already saved and on your way to heaven, we got nothing to worry about. Amen. We've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many knows the ticket's been punched and we're ready to go? Whatever the day, whatever the hour, should the eastern sky split right now, amen, I know where I'm going. Amen. If you can give assurance to that, give Him one more hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's good to see folks this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Hope that you got your mind right on the Lord. We want to go right into the Word of God this morning. We're so thankful for our songs of praise and worship this morning. Thankful for you being a part of that as well. Amen. The choir's not here just to sing for you. They're here to sing with you. Amen. Sometimes we get caught up in being spectators. Amen. But we encourage you to be a part of our praise and worship. And just worship the Lord. Amen. Because He has done great and mighty things. And I got news for the devil. God ain't through. Amen. I said He's not through. In fact, we ain't even scratched the surface of what God is able to do. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. Praise God. In the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, let us begin with verse number 13. And thank you for standing. The reading of God's precious and holy word. The writing of the apostle says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able, everybody say may be able, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that You are a mighty God, that You're also a God of compassion. And Father, I pray Your will be done in this service this morning. God, I don't know the needs of this congregation, but You do. God, I can't see the hearts, but You can. God, You know the minds, the thoughts that are going on right now. And Father, I pray if there be any problems, any issues, any sickness, any affliction, God, and especially if anyone here on the sound of my voice is lost and undone, Father, I pray that this be the day, God, that a miracle comes into their life. This be the day that they invite Jesus Christ into their heart as Lord and Savior. Father, I ask You now humbly to anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel and oracle only, God, that You might get honor and glory. And we'll give You all the praise. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Turn to your neighbor. Give him a high five. And you may be seated.
Amen.
Amen. How many remembers the day when we actually shook hands and hugged necks? Amen. All these air fives and all, I'm not sure about. Amen. But one thing I am sure about is the Word of God. And I'm sure that the power of God is greater than anything that comes against us in this world. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, Taking a Stand. Taking a Stand. Basically, the apostle is writing, and if we would use words of the southern vernacular, it would simply be hold your ground. Can I just encourage you that what God has brought you through and where God has placed you now, don't ever back up to God's miracle. Don't ever back up to what God has produced in your life. Don't ever give an inch to Satan, because he's not satisfied with just an inch. He'll want you to keep retreating and keep going backward. But I believe with all of my heart, what God has brought us through, what God has done for us, amen, that we need to stand and proclaim the mighty hand of God. And in fact, tell Satan that we know that God is able to take care of us regardless of what the future may bring. Stand firmly in one place. Now, come to tell you this morning, we won't be able to stand if, in fact, we're not prepared. Just saying that I'm going to stand is not preparation enough. Just wishing and hoping that you can stand is not nearly sufficient. The apostle goes on to list several things that we must attribute to our spiritual walk with God in order to be able to withstand in the evil day. I believe this morning, if we was to take a poll, if there is such a thing, or a survey, I believe that probably more than 50, maybe even more than 70% of the people would agree that we're living in an evil day. Living in an evil time. Man, but that doesn't mean we have to be evil. That doesn't mean we have to be overcome. That doesn't mean that we have to back up to what Satan is proclaiming in the world today. I want to ask the church this morning, have I got anybody here who's able and willing to stand in the face of adversity and rebuke it in the name that is above all names? That is the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and refuse to bow down, refuse to back up, refuse to bow to the pressure that is in the world today. Amen. We don't need a whole lot. We just need a few believers to stand with the mighty power of God and say, enough is enough. Hallelujah. But with all of our enthusiasm and with all of our emotion and with all of our good intention, that alone will not allow us to be able to stand in the evil day. Bible says we must be prepared. Amen. How many is thankful for the preparation of the gospel? Man, I never ever want to tire of hearing the word of God. I never ever want to grow weary of picking up the word of God and searching and hearing with my spirit the precious words that God has prepared us for. I recall a time many years ago when I was in school. We'd have a reading assignment. Man, I don't know if they still do that on the internet or not, but we actually had one of those things that was called a book. with pages in it. We would have a reading assignment. Now, I was brought up in church, and I was told not to lie. So the teacher would ask the next day, how many went through the entire chapter of the book last night? And I'd raise my hand. And her wording was, how many went through the book? I went through the book, but I didn't stop to read it. I started, had every good intention. I knew that I wanted to, but there was still sunlight out, and I still wanted to go out and play. So I began to flip the pages, and I was not a speed reader. I would just flip the pages and run my finger down each page. I went through the book. And I flipped it over and I thought I had done my assignment. Well, everything was well and good till we had a test on it. Got the first two right because that was the first page. After that, man, it was awful. I am so afraid that many people today are trying to live on their ability. Trying to live on, yeah, I went through the Bible, but did you study the Word? Did you ingest the Word? Did you ask the Lord, let that Word take root in my soul? God, let me live by faith. Let me work by faith. Let me operate by faith, not in my ability, not in the church's ability, not in the pastor's ability, but my ability to read and understand, amen, digest the Word of God. We're so blessed to have this written Word of God. Take advantage of it. Amen. You'll find strength. You'll find direction. You'll find the things that we need in this world. Amen. Because God has supplied everything that we're going to need in His Word. We must take advantage of His Word and be prepared. The writer said, stand therefore. In other words, stand prepared. Prepared. He says, stand with truth. You know, the truth will stand for itself. How many believes the Word of God is truth? How many knows that the Bible says, though an angel from heaven come preaching or teaching any other thing other than the apostles preach, let him be a lie. That it means that no matter how colorful, how enticing, how very ear-pleasing it is, if someone comes and tries to show us another way other than what is written in the precious Lamb's Book of the Word of God, that our name is put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let them be a lie and God the truth. This is the preparation that you and I need in order to be able to stand. Can't stand if it's not truth. I want to give you some encouragement today. Those things that are standing and looking so enticing to the world, they're not based on truth. They will fail. They will fall. According to the Word of God, it is not based on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Those things will fall, and great will be the fall. So many people are worried. So many people are frantically trying to figure out what's going on in the world. You know what? We probably never will realize what's going on in the world. But I will assure you, if we'd pay more attention to the Word of God, more attention in seeking the will of God and putting Him first in our life, we'll be able to withstand anything that comes against us in this time of adversity that we're facing. Also, the breastplate of righteousness. Before I go to the breastplate, there was an analogy that the writer used here. He said, the belt of truth. In other words, the truth is the thing that binds everything else together. Basically, he's saying, tighten the belt of truth. In other words, don't use the truth lightly. Come on, stand. The truth has to be told one way. Has to be lived one way. Not as I see it, but as God's Word has prepared us to live. So we tighten the belt of truth. Sometimes the truth is hard. Sometimes it's very difficult. But you'll never, ever have to apologize for the truth. And that reminds me. I'm tired of having to be feel that I have to apologize for being a born-again Christian. How many is tired of that? At one time in my life, it was an honor and a privilege, but the world looks on it like we have to apologize for being Bible believers. Let me tell you something. I will never apologize for the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed on the cross of Calvary, that has given me victory, that has given me eternal life. I can't back up. I can't apologize. I'm too thankful for what He's already done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth. We must stand with a breastplate of righteousness. God has given us the availability of a protection plan. And that is the breastplate of righteousness that guards the vitals of our spiritual inner man. How many knows that everything, and listen to me closely, everything that enters our ears should not necessarily enter into the heart of the inner man. I want to say that again. Everything that we hear should not affect our spiritual walk with God. Too many Christians listening to too many news media, reading too many gloom and doom stories. I peeked over in the back of the book. Glory to God.
I'm not sure if CNN or Fox or CBS or NBC or WOLE, I don't know if they're aware that the church of God is victorious and we will win because Christ is on our side. Somebody shout, praise God, I have the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The writer of the song knew it when he said, victory in Jesus. That's where my help comes from. We need to guard that truth that is in our heart. The breastplate of righteousness is a protection of our heart with God's righteousness, His rightness. I'm tired of the excuse that everybody else does it. I'm not sure if God gets tired. If He had, He'd have given up on me a long time ago. But don't you imagine it's a little infuriating for God to hear it's everybody else is doing it? Come on. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. Amen. As for me and my house. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. As for me and my house, we're going to worship God. We're going to stand for the Lord. We choose to follow Jesus. Nobody's making me do it. I choose to be a Christian by the precious grace of my Lord and Savior. But I'm thankful that He guards the vitals of my inner man, of my spirit, and does not allow those things to infiltrate my spirit. Oh, it may affect my flesh. It may cause my mind sometime to worry a little bit, but I realize that greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. God does not leave us alone with just those two modes of protection. In fact, He has allowed the apostle here to list a number of things that cause us to have protection in this world. Maybe if only one of those things was available, then we might have a reason to worry or fret. But God has taken care of every part of our spiritual walk with Him. He has given us a mode and a way of protection. The third thing that the apostle mentions is have our feet shod. Not with just anything, but with the Word of God, the gospel of peace, which is the good news. Basically, standing ready and prepared with the gospel of peace. This is my hunting buddy here. He hadn't told anybody, but I'm going to tell it before he does. I don't know, was it last week or week before? We were down there hunting, and I have a pair of slides, camouflage slides, that when I come in, I'll get out of my old boots and put those slides on around the camp and everything. And we were getting prepared, getting ready to go into the evening hunt. And we had the most important things. We had the backpack, the extra coat, the gun, and everything was laid in there. And we got in the golf cart, and I dropped him off at his designated area. And I was going down what we call the rocky road. It kind of goes down and veers over and goes, takes me to my hunting area. And I kind of looked down at the gas pedal, and I had my slides on. I had gotten so comfortable with my slides, I forgot my boots. And my first thought was, if I get a deer and he runs off through the briars and in the swampy air, I got to go get him with slides on. But the Lord took care of that. He didn't allow me to get a deer that night. But I sat comfortably in the stand. You know, God spoke to me. He said, you just thought you was prepared. But I left out a very important thing. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Not only is it vital and important for us to be fully familiar with the Word of God, but can I also tell you that Satan doesn't respect anything but the written Word of God and the authority in the name of Jesus. Amen? We may have everything else covered, but if we don't have the preparation of the gospel, the good news, in our life and in our spirit, what are we going to combat the devil with? What did Jesus combat the devil with? The Word. He enticed Jesus. He enticed the flesh. But all three times, Jesus came back with the Word. Amen? If you've got the Word, Satan's going to have to retreat. If you've got the Word and it's engrafted in your heart, amen, you are more than prepared for anything the devil brings against you. Thank God for the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is good news. And then the writer says, above all, not to discount the importance of the previous preparation. That was not his intent. He might have used a word like this, an all-inclusive, remember above all those, is taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith is vital in the Christian warfare. It is a necessity. I find that many times it's propped up in the corner of our spiritual walk with God. Readily accessible, but not actually in hand. I got it somewhere. But they know. Well, let me remind you. How many times have we said, I wish I had a little more faith? If I just had the faith to move the mountain. You know what you're saying? I ain't got the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. He ain't asking you to have faith the size of a pumpkin seed. Boy, if mountains can be moved with the faith the size of a mustard seed, think what you could do with the faith of a pumpkin seed. And you're given a measure of faith according to the Word of God. And the Bible says, exercise your faith. You're given a bicep. But if you never use it, come on. But if you pump that thing, if you exercise that thing, you might have one the size of a pumpkin seed one of these days. Exercise that faith. Live by faith. Amen. Call it done when you don't even see it. Amen. When you come up for prayer, don't wait till it quits hurting. Go ahead and praise Him anyway. Glory to God. Because as your faith is, so shall it be. The things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. Faith is what? The substance of things you cannot see. Amen. But it's the evidence, amen, that we need to proclaim. I call it done in the name of Jesus. Amen. The shield of faith. Don't leave home without it. Don't go anywhere without it. What's so important about the shield of faith? It's mobile. Amen. Shoes are for the feet. The belt is for the loins, girding the loins. Breastplate, guarding the vitals. We get to the helmet of salvation. How many knows the helmet goes on the head? That's easy, wasn't it? These are not trick questions, by the way. But the shield is mobile. How many times I just didn't see that coming. Just when I thought things were going good, boom, all of the things come from left field. I don't know why it's left field. You know, that's kind of being prejudiced against center field and right field, isn't it? I don't know about you. Sometimes I have to think I have it coming from all fields. But you know what? I got the shield of faith. Glory to God. And it's mobile. Hallelujah. And I'm going to keep it with me. Where I go, hallelujah, when I'm driving down the road, glory to God, whatever I'm involved in, I got the shield of faith because I don't know when the fiery darts of Satan are going to come against me, but I do know as long as I got the shield of faith, they cannot penetrate. Here's what I want you to understand as a Christian. The shield of faith does not keep the fiery darts from coming. It just keeps them from hitting you. Somebody needs to hear that. Why is everything happening to me? Why Why is all these fiery darts? Because God has given us a shield. Pray for those who don't have the shield. I often say, how do folks get alive by in this world that don't know Jesus Christ? Because He's given us and equipped us with the shield of faith. And those fiery darts just ping off of them. Hallelujah. Bing. Boom. Hallelujah. Shield of faith. Glory to God. I know I got to move on, but I love that shield of faith. Amen. Because I have to use it. It ain't pure and pretty and shiny and brand new. If it is, Satan ain't bugging you. But if your shield is beat up, if it's got little nicks and crevices all in it, that means you are a warrior. That means you have withstood every fiery dart that Satan has fired against my Lord in mercy. I wish I had time to show you on my shield of faith every scar, every dent, every place where a fiery dart has hit. But then I want to pull the shield back and say my heart is still intact because it never penetrated the shield of faith. Hallelujah. How many knows God will make a way? Above all, most importantly, take the shield of faith. Don't forget the helmet of salvation. Don't forget the helmet of salvation. Not only did the helmet in that day and hour keep those fatal blows from penetrating the head and the scalp, which is so detrimental in battle, even though sometimes maybe you couldn't get the shield around in time and maybe a sword or a spear bounced off of that helmet. But I thought of something that the apostle, I believe, meant for us to be able to have the salvation, the helmet of salvation. Because we get so caught up in the physical battles and the warfare that Satan comes against us. How many knows the Bible also equips us that we need to cast down every evil thought and imagination that comes against us. We need to have that mind protected and covered, amen, by the helmet of salvation. I can almost assure you that if you've been living for the Lord very long, Satan's come and told you, you're not saved. You haven't been born again. You're not perfect. That's the reason we have to be saved, because not a one of us is perfect. That's the reason we have to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life. But if we're not careful, we'll be so prepared against the physical onslaught of Satan that he'll try to penetrate our mind and our thought and imaginations. Those people up there don't care nothing about you. They don't love you. Satan ever used that on you? They don't really love you. Amen. First thing you know, we didn't take that helmet off and we're listening. And those thoughts, even though they're thoughts they haven't put into action yet, they can be very detrimental to a spiritual walk with God. Guard those thoughts. Let our thoughts and our mind, the Bible says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Lord, help me to get there. Help me to get there. Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes those thoughts come into your mind and you have to rebuke them. You have to. Because if you dwell on them, they'll drag you down. Amen. We're too blessed to be stressed. Amen. How many would raise your hands? I'm too blessed to be stressed. I ain't got time to worry. I ain't got time to be anxious about this thing. I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. I'm on my journey. Glory to God. Don't forget the helmet of salvation, protection against evil thoughts and imaginations. The sword of the Spirit. God's Word. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder. You know, I've often thought about this, and I remember my granddaddy preaching on the double-edged sword and how sharp that the Word of God was and how it's able to cut. And he used the analogy of a surgeon. He knows what a scalpel is that a surgeon uses. And in the hands of a trained professional, it can do a world of good. It can cut away that is unnecessary, that is bacteria or whatever it is, and leave the good flesh, amen, to heal. But how many knows the scalpel in the hands of an untrained person can do a lot of damage. That's the reason that the Word of God must be preached with truth, and it must be preached with love and compassion. As Jesus brought the Word, He didn't love the sin, but He loved the sinner. And He loved the person. Be careful how you use that sword. Be careful how you use that word. You do it with love and compassion. And let God do the cutting asunder of the unnecessary parts. But we must have that sword. Again, what does the devil respect? The authority of the Word of God. Be prepared to use this on anything that he comes against you with. And stand. Take a stand. And then lastly, it says, praying and watching. Praying and watching. Some of us Pentecostals got half of that right. That's the watching part. But I don't believe the apostles' use of the word watching was necessarily like the human word of watching. Because we're watching to see somebody mess up. We're watching to see if somebody really is what they... But no, watching. Let me tell you something. If you'll keep your eyes watching for the enemy, you won't be surprised when he comes against you. Stay alert spiritually. Stay prepared with the Word of God. Pray fast. Keep your eyes, your heart, and your thoughts on God always. Amen. The Bible says pray without ceasing. I know you can't stay in the altar and pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but you can go with a prayer on your heart. You know, it doesn't necessarily say your eyes have to be closed to pray. It doesn't necessarily say your knees have to be bended to pray. Thank God that God can hear us, amen, when we're standing up, when we're driving down the road, wherever we may be, we can have a prayer on our heart. And we need to be prepared with that ability to pray. Don't ever discount the power of prayer. Prayer works. Can I get a testimony? Prayer works. Amen. Have you ever been the recipient of prayer? Amen. When somebody asks you to pray, pray. If they hit it on Facebook, if they're praying for you, pray for them. Man, don't just hit it and say, my conscience is clear, but I'm actually praying for you. Because prayer works. Amen. Prayer and watching. Watching for Satan and all of his wiles. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Doesn't mean quit. It means act like strong men and women for God. Like men, be strong. Those are words from 1 Corinthians also. The Apostle Paul's writing to the church of Corinth. All of these are wonderful directions. They're great preparations. But if we cannot apply them to our life, and if we have not applied them to our life, how can we stand? Man, listen. There is a, what do they call it today? Some kind of culture. What do they call that? Basically, they're trying to come against anything that stands for morality or whatever. Cancel culture. Yeah. Cancel culture. By tearing down statues. Statues don't bother me. I ain't worshiping no idol. Taking the Ten Commandments off the wall, like that's taking them out of God's Word. You may tear down statues. You may tear down idols. But you can never tear down the God that I serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Because He lives within me. You can take and erase the Ten Commandments all you want to. But I've written them on the tables of my heart. You can't touch this. You can't touch this, devil. Glory to God. Somebody tell Satan this morning, you can't touch this. Come up with power, with faith. You can't touch this. Because I stand for God. And greater is He than anyone that comes against me. Can you give Him praise? Can you give Him praise? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Church, we need to take a stand. Because if we're waiting on the majority to do it, that's not going to work. If we're waiting on the government to do it, that's not going to work. If we're waiting on some man to come do it, that's not going to work, because Jesus has already come in the form of a man. But we got to take a stand and stand on the Word of God, the foundation that has already been laid. Would you stand? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Saints praying. If you're here today and you've not made preparation, and all of this is good preparation, but you must be born again. The Bible says you must be born again. You must come to the altar with an open, contrite, broken spirit, a repentant nature, and say, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I can't stand by myself. I need the infilling of your Holy Spirit. I need Jesus to come into my life and take up his abode. I want to be a believer, but I also want the salvation living and abiding within my spirit. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you need that walk with Jesus this morning, would you make your way down to this altar? I will assure you, people will surround you that love you, want to pray for you, pray that you'll be ready and prepared when that day or hour comes. Because none of us have the promise of tomorrow. Is there one today? Please, nobody looking around. If you need prayer in any matter, whether you're saved or unsaved, would you lift your hand and let this pastor know you need prayer? I'll be praying with you, I promise. I'll be praying this week for you. May God bless you, keep you in this oncoming year. I pray God's blessing upon each and every one of you. Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss us with a word of prayer?